Hello, this is a podcast of the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I'm a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Joining me is Assistant Superintendent Luis Murillo. Hello, Luis.
Hi, Adri. I just realized we are recording our 26th episode.
Wow. Time has flown, you know?
Yes. It feels just like yesterday
when we
were having
this
conversation about how do we reach out using technology. Well, Adri, as always, I'm excited to be here because we have a very special guest.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about a very important topic. Today, we're going to be learning more about the important work our technology department does, including topics such as how we protect ourselves from threats such as cyber attacks. But we'll get there.
Interesting, yes. Well, we can't complain about the weather.
No, it's nice
beautiful,
and warm.
Beautiful weather.
Wind has died down, and I'm looking forward to my grass getting really, really green for the summer.
You know, Luis, I've got a big celebration next week coming up. My youngest is graduating from law school, yes.
Wow.
And I'm bringing it up because, you know, he graduated from Alamosa High School.
Yes.
Graduated from Adams State. And and so now another milestone.
That is phenomenal.
For my baby boy, yeah.
I remember Marco.
Right?
Yes.
In seventh grade.
I do. Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Big celebration for our family. All right. Let's get started with our first segment, Did You Know? What new information are we learning about today?
Did you know that the Alamosa School District teachers and staff will begin conducting voice visits?
Voice visits. Well, tell me a little bit, what is a voice visit?
Voice visits are relationship building meetings meant to happen in the home, place of work, park, school, or even via Zoom.
Okay.
The intent is to hear parents or guardians. That's why we're calling them voice visits.
Okay.
We don't expect them to happen at the home all the time, but we definitely expect to have our ears wide open and to hear from them.
Okay. Well, okay. So when I first started teaching 30-something years ago, teachers would sometimes make home visits, and I remember doing that sometimes. So, but this is just through the phone. So you said a Zoom call, so then we could see each other while we're doing this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so there will be like a set Zoom, and parents will be ready for this.
Yes. We would rather have these happen face-to-face and in person. I don't think it gets any better than that.
Right.
But
sure.
Now, I mean, it's 2023. We've learned a lot through the pandemic. So we got to utilize the tools that we do have.
Absolutely.
But let me tell you a little more.
Okay.
So we're aware that voice visits, home visits, or simply making contact with parents is not new. It's happened for years. We also know that we have wonderful staff conducting them across our district. What we're intending to do is to create opportunities for all of our staff members to engage in voice visits if desired. What this entails is attending our voice visit training and following our protocols to ensure equity when conducting voice visits. What this means is that every student, our 2,200, really deserves for an educator to reach out and say, let me learn about you. Not just our best students, not just our middle of the pack, not just our students that struggle, but all students. We will be compensating our staff, of course, for voice visits conducted outside of the contractual time. And I often hear from our community members about how hard it is to attend school events because they happen during work hours for the most part. So this will create a protocol for staff who wish to conduct voice visits to do so. So this could happen 4, 5, 6, could happen on the weekends. What we're doing is we are creating a protocol. We are compensating staff. We're training them. And then we're saying, go for it. So what we're asking parents is, if you do get a phone call from a staff member saying, hey, Ms. Adri Chapa would like to come visit you to give us a chance.
Okay, so how is this different from just a phone call? Tell me about the visit part.
Mm-hmm. The only difference is that we intend it to happen in person. Often, you know, through a phone call, there's a lot of things that might be lost in translation or that we communicate via our body language, via our facial features. So what we're trying to do is really to get off our pedestal and say, we expect you, we invite you into our home, which is our place of work. We're going to do the same.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, language.
Yeah.
So let's say that we have a teacher who cannot communicate in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Will there be an opportunity to communicate?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. Yes. So we held our first training this past Friday. We had 17 people in attendance.
Okay.
Several of our bilingual employees. So once you fill out the form, and the form, you know, you'll fill it out, and there is a box if you need interpretation. So on the back end, what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that that teacher is paired with someone who's bilingual. It might include me. I mean, I am bilingual.
Yeah.
So definitely tap into all of our resources until we can, you know, figure out a way that technology can really help us do that so that we don't have to, you know, depend on bilingual people so much. But now we have them. There's not a lot of us, but we will utilize each and every one last of us to do voice visits.
Okay. So one more question. I know that you had the training last week, I believe. So will you have a beginner's training again later on?
Yes. That was just the first training. There's another training coming up on the 12th, I believe, not this Friday, but the next one. And this is just to get us started. Then we're going to have another training in the summer, and we will have trainings maybe about every 2 weeks for folks who want to get trained and who want to begin doing voice visits. So it'll be ongoing.
All right. Well, we can look forward to this. When do you anticipate the first voice visits happening?
I'm sure they're happening now, or I hope they're happening
excellent.
Now.
Wow.
So after our training, those 17 folks, you know, can begin to request and do voice visits. And again, this is just a protocol that we're trying to bring as a system that will train and compensate staff.
Well, I hope it works out really well and just opens up that communication. All right, Luis. Well, thanks for sharing. Now we know. Let's move into our second segment, Getting to Know Our Schools. This is where we learn more about school personnel. So who are we meeting today?
All righty. Today, we're pleased to have a very special guest with us. Scott Schweitzer is our district's technology director. And Scott is no stranger to our school district and this work. But I'm not going to overshare about him because I know we're going to ask him to do his own sharing. I did learn that he's been with our district for several years. But anyway, I'm going to pass it on to Scott. Welcome.
Well, welcome to Education Radio.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, so I guess the first thing to tell you is I have worked for the Alamosa School District for 20 years now. Yeah,
that's a
long time.
Yes.
I started right when I got out of college as a IT tech for the district, moved up from there to be a director for IT director for a number of years. And then I sort of, I decided I might like to do something a little different. So we, through the help of the Boys and Girls Club, we started the Teen Tech Academy. Mm-hmm. So I got to be a computer science teacher for a number of years. And now I'm back as the IT director, CIO of the district. A little bit more about me. I was born in New York. I came to Alamosa to finish college. I came in my second year of college. And I love it here. It's wonderful here.
Well, you stayed, right?
I stayed, exactly. And it's really a big change from New York, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
It might be one of those, the grass is always greener kind of situations, but I definitely like it on this side. And so, you know, I'm an Alamosa person now. So, you know, what do I like? I like fishing and snowboarding and riding motorcycles in the mountains and, you know, everything outdoors. This is the place for it, right? Yep, absolutely.
We are very glad to have you, Scott. My first question is, in a previous podcast, we've had, you know, teachers, we've had some other district level people. I am always interested to learn more about the day to day. So would you give us insight into what a chief information officer does? What does your day look like?
Okay, well, you know what? Let me just start with a word. Hectic. Busy. Yeah. So there's always a lot to do, and there's more things to do than there are time to do it. That's for sure. So, you know, I start my morning fairly early, you know, about 7 o'clock, looking on my computer at systems and servers and internet connections. And I look at everything, go, okay, we're going to be okay. The day is going to start. And so that's how my day starts. After that, I travel around the district a lot, just addressing individual projects and problems that arise. And just in general, you know, I help people. That's what I'm there for. If the people weren't there, I wouldn't be there. There'd be no use for me. So my number one goal is to help people every day. And so I sort of split my time up between fixing things, And then setting things up and preparing for upcoming events and, you know, just preparing for what's coming next.
Sure, the testing.
Testing and summer school. And right. Just, yeah, there's a million things every
registration, pre-registration,
every day. There's another four things that are coming at us. So setting up, preparing for those things. And then also planning and implementing for long-term improvement, right? We have to, you know, we don't live in a vacuum. Things are changing every day. And so that really, to me, is upgrades, replacing old equipment, cybersecurity. I do I do those tasks every single day. And with those tasks really comes learning, right? I have to keep up with what is current. What is the current state of technology? What are the current threats out there? And what do I need to know to make good choices for our school district? And so I spend a reasonable amount of my time learning. I'm a learner, I lifetime learner, and that's what makes you good at this job, is being able to learn.
Yeah. Especially with the speed of change and technology.
Absolutely.
Scott, I love technology, and I'm very, very lucky and a little bit spoiled to work in Alamosa School District, because you and your department had set me up really well. But I feel that I'm more efficient when I have the technology and the tools in front of me to get things done. But I will also admit that I can easily get frustrated when technology doesn't work as I expected to work. And I'm sure I'm not alone. But I know that, you know, when we talk about technology in a district, it simply doesn't happen. We don't just magically have internet and we just don't magically show up and things, you know, work. I am aware that there's a lot of work that happens behind the scenes. And you started talking a little bit about that behind the scenes work. But can you just share more so that our listeners, you know, begin to understand truly, you know, the asset that we have at Alamosa School District?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I just want to address, you know, what you said about, what makes me able to do my job is I have infinite patience. I don't get frustrated. I don't know why. I just don't. I will keep at a problem, the same terrible problem. I'll just not get frustrated and keep working it until I figure it out. So there's that. But okay, you want to know more about behind the scenes stuff? Well, let's talk about some of the not exciting behind the scenes stuff. There's some stuff that's exciting, and you could tell students that, oh, you'll do this for your job. But there's other aspects too. One of the not exciting things that happens behind the scenes is we spend money, lots of money, to be honest.
Right.
And so I spend a significant amount of time, you know, working on procurement and purchasing and paying bills and, you know, making sure that service contracts are paid before they expire, and just the regular day-to-day administrative work of paying for all the things that we use every day. And honestly, that to me is one of the, if you do it wrong, everybody knows it.
Right? Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. There's a number of instances where when you mess that up, it's real obvious and it affects everybody. So that actually, I mentioned that, it's not exciting, but that really is a priority. It just has to happen. Can't be skipped. Okay, so there's paying for things. Then also behind the scenes is there's all the planning, right? So, okay, end of the year is here. Mm-hmm. We have to collect all these devices. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure we have them all. We have to inventory them. We have to get them imaged so we can give them back out next year. We have to do that now before summer school starts for our summer school crowd. So, yeah, there's all of that just work. There's no other way to put it. It's just work. You know, it's not particularly glamorous, not particularly hard, but it takes a significant amount of time to just do the work. Mm-hmm. So other things that I would say are, you know, some of the exciting things that happen sort of behind the scenes. So that's the network administration tasks, where we monitor all the systems and we actively change configurations to adapt to the changing situations inside of our schools. And then we work on problems. Things break, right? Things legitimately just break. And you don't know those problems are happening. And when they happen, users know it happened. So that's a big problem now for me to make sure that, you know, whatever just broke has to get fixed quickly. And, you know, what I will say is these days, the district, you know, and our tech isn't really on fire. Maybe in the past, like it sort of used to be, where we're kind of running from fire to fire. We're not really there anymore. We're a little bit past that, which is a nice spot to be. And so, you know, that happens because of planning, you know, and active monitoring and being proactive with the choices we make.
You know, just a quick story. My brother is a technician at a school district in California, and I was having a conversation. You know, we talk about technology amongst other things, and he was sharing with me the amount of hours and how many hands have to touch a device from the time it gets to the school district yes. to the time it gets to the kid.
Yes.
And everything he explained to me, I was like, oh my God, you are right.
Yes.
So thank you for yes. leading all that work.
Well, and don't just thank me. I really, you know, I probably should have mentioned it earlier, but we have a team, right? We have a team of right. six or seven
very
people.
Good team. Yes.
A very good team. Our team is as... they're amazing. That's all I can say. They're absolutely amazing. Everyone does an incredible job with absolutely, I don't even have to ask them to do an incredible job. They all go above and beyond all the time.
Right. You know, when we just finished testing at OMS, and there were people on the spot. So if someone was having issues logging on, somebody was walking by and coming in, taking care of it, and getting them going.
Well, and on those days, those stressful days, as we're you know gathering in a room, getting ready for this, nobody's even unhappy. Like we know we have a lot of work to do.
Oh, but everybody's happy. They were awesome. And they were calm and came in.
I know it's a great team. Yes. Unbelievable.
All right, Scott, let's talk about the big topic. Okay. A few months ago, I read on the news that the LA school district, which is the second largest in our nation, was cyber attacked, and they shut down for a few days, and there were some negotiation with cyber pirates and you know, things that I didn't really quite understand. I know that in our conversations, this is one of those topics that keeps you up at night.
Absolutely.
So what are we doing to protect ourselves from cyber attacks?
So, you know, what I... The first thing I wanted to say this, I'm not going to talk too much about specifics at the moment. And, you know, the bank doesn't tell you, you know, how the lock on the vault works and who has the code.
Good point.
They just don't tell you that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to either, but I'm happy to talk about general principles that inform our decisions because that's really what it comes down to. Cybersecurity is really more about a mindset and a set of core principles that we employ in all of our decisions, right? And so I'll just... talk briefly. So some of those principles, sort of the first one is defense in depth. And what this means is that, you know, we're going to provide security at multiple layers throughout the processes and systems that we have. So at your house, you have a fence, right? And then you have a front door with a lock on it. Mm-hmm. And then you have an alarm inside your house. And then you keep your valuables inside of a safe, right? That's called defense in depth. So if somebody jumps over your fence, they still have to contend with the front door. They have to get past the alarm. And so it's the exact same thing in cybersecurity. We provide multiple layers of protection as much as we can, realistically, so that it will slow down any sort of attack against the district, right? And hopefully give us enough time to recognize that it's happening and take action against it. And what I would honestly say is there's a couple of things that, you know, but defense in depth to me is the number one principle that actually you always have to live by. There's no skimping on that. You can't be like, oh, well, I put one lock on some server somewhere and, you know, there's one password. And if you got that one password, you got the keys to the kingdom. We can't live like that. And really, you know, how did that happen in LA? It's because nothing is secure. I mean, there were certainly institutional failures that led to it, but the technical reasons it happened, those almost can't be prevented, right? I mean, there is a new zero-day flaw that someone can exploit that we didn't have any time to react to. So that's why we need defense in depth. So defense in depth is one thing that we talk about, multiple layers of defense. Next thing I would say is the next principle we live by is zero trust. And what that really means is that in the old days, it used to be the world is bad and everything behind our firewall is good. We can trust everybody. We don't live in that world anymore. Everybody's walking in and out with these devices and telephones, right? And we just have to assume that every one of those is compromised. Every one of those potentially is a gateway to some attacker in the world, right? So basically, we don't trust anybody. There's no such thing as a perimeter to the network. There's no safe place. Everything. So on all of our systems, we have to provide authentication and access control and monitoring before we let any systems access our networks. And so if you start with that idea that nothing is secure, right, then that informs the rest of your decision. But what do I need to provide some security to the sensitive data that this person is trying to access, right? So zero trust. Another one is the principle of least access, where we're only going to give any specific user just enough access to systems and data to do their job, right? We don't say, oh, well, it was too hard for me to configure your access so you can only see that screen. So I just made you an administrator and you can see everything, or you're an administrator on your laptop. Go ahead and install whatever you want. You know, right. Yeah, we can't live in that world anymore. So that's the principle of least access. We give you just as much as you need to do your job and not more. Because what's going to happen, you know, some of the main threats really against us that we really contend with are social engineering threats, where someone has tricked you into doing something, yeah. You know? And so, you know, training is the obvious way to help with that.
Those emails that we get once in a while.
Oh, yes.
Look like someone that I know.
Absolutely.
I've learned to just send him to Scott.
Can
like,
you
this
give me,
a,
can you call me?
Yeah.
Can you email me?
Yes, exactly. You know, okay, so those are big principles. Lots of other stuff. Secure network configurations where we, you know, try to use the best network policies we can to sort of lock down people's access and their ability to move across a network. So if one computer gets compromised, they can't immediately be on all the computers, right? So minimize, you know, access across the network. Patch management. That's where, you know, there's a new bug in Chrome today that looks pretty bad. We have to make sure Chrome updates on all the computers. We have to have patch management. We have to do that to our operating systems and our servers. Endpoint protection. So if an endpoint gets compromised and somebody's going to walk into the building with it, we should have some sort of way to know that endpoint, that device has been compromised and that we're not going to give it access to the network. So we provide endpoint protection, centralized monitoring, right? So we have all these systems, right? All these network devices and servers and endpoints. Well, it's really nice if we can have an overview of all those systems and have some way to detect anomalies, right? That we can say, you know, this traffic flow that is happening today, that didn't happen yesterday, that didn't happen last week, that looks new. Let's at least raise an alert. Let's have somebody look at that so that before, you know, all of our data gets, you know, exfiltrated out of the network and we go, hey, wait, that data shouldn't be moving that direction. Let's stop it. So there's that kind of stuff. Okay, and most importantly, and back to your original question to ransomware, right? And they're going to shut us down. Well, the real defense against ransomware is a good backup, a good, you know, current offline backup that we can restore quickly. So if your computer were to be ransomwared, I'd say, oh, well, right, I have a good backup. I'm going to just reimage your computer. Whatever was on there is not on there now. I'm going to restore your data, and we move on.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it happened to one of my cousins in a school district.
Yeah.
And she couldn't access anything.
Yeah.
Not student records, lessons, nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and so, you know, what I was talking before about spending money, those are some of the things that we spend money on. Yep. That it's an insurance policy, you know. Mm-hmm. So, we must have good backups. Yeah.
Yep. All right. As the chief information officer, you get to lead systems technology, amongst other things. We are an educational institution. What is your philosophy on learning, and how can technology aid in bringing your philosophy to fruition?
So I actually think I'm uniquely positioned to speak about this because I've been a teacher recently and a tech director recently. So, you know, what I really think is this, and this is wearing my teacher hat. I really believe that we should give students the education they ask for, right? So we have some minimum bar, but a lot of times they're asking us questions that don't really quite fit, but they really want to know the answer. I really, really want to use technology and use my time to provide the answers that are maybe outside of the curriculum just a little bit and find ways to bring that question, that curiosity that they had, tie that back to curriculum. Right. And that's that for me. So like providing an individualized opportunity for students to seek understanding and engage them in their own interests. Right. That really just makes learning fun for everybody.
Absolutely. Yes.
Makes it fun for a teacher, too. Really.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and so like, of course, easier said than done. Right. I mean, you know, we actually have a curriculum. We're actually going to be tested on. We actually have to have to cover some things. So for me, you know, technology is that tool that makes it easier to individualize education. Right. It, you know, the curriculum comes to us as a set of these are some core standards that we have to address. But all the other things that I would like to give you, the little bit of extra, I find that technology is the way to address all those little little questions. Mm-hmm. And really, like, I'm a proponent of project-based learning, but of course that's because I was in a classroom that was easy to do project-based learning. And so I really think of myself as a facilitator. When I'm in educational mode, I'm a facilitator for a student to seek the learning journey.
You're absolutely
journey
right. Yes.
That they want to go on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're speaking the language of our profile of a graduate.
Oh, am I?
You know, we talked about, yeah, or we heard from community and from students that they want to be locally and globally connected. I mean, what better way to do so that by utilizing technology to connect? And, you know, they also told us that they want to be future ready. And the future is technology, and it's absolutely the present, the future, it's the past, it's
absolutely
everything.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, that's exciting. I have a fun question for you.
Okay.
Apple or Android, and why?
So Apple, actually, like, I feel like I've now given away some a bit of security. I shouldn't have told you that. But Apple, sure. But honestly, really, I use so many diverse systems and operating systems, I don't care. Like, I'll adapt. Like, I adapt very quickly. Yeah. So, and really, the answer why Apple? Because all my family has Apple, and because we have a family plan. So there it is. Apple. Yeah.
All right, Scott. Is there anything else you would like to share with our community, listeners, students?
Yes. So I just want to say, you know, I'm but one person of an amazing team that gets mm-hmm. this job done. And there is no way that I could do this with any less than what we have now. I mean, we have just the most amazing team. And honestly, could they do it without me? Yeah, probably. So, you know, somebody would get the work done. So
I don't know about that.
Well, you know, we're a team for sure. And I really enjoy that team. I can't stress that enough. And so, you know, I really do think that as a district, you know, we're a team as a district too. Mm-hmm. And
we are.
And what makes this all work is that we all absolutely understand that we're here for students and parents. Yeah. Like that is why we're here. And in the technology department, we talk about that all the time. We know that. And yeah, we're happy to be doing this work. It's rewarding work is what I would actually say. Yeah, as hard as it is rewarding.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Just our last podcast, we had nutrition director Gwen Smith, and she talked about her role in nutrition. And I think that what we're starting to show is that, yes, we are one big team, one big family, and we need everyone to be doing their very best to make sure that our kids ultimately have the very best learning experience that we can provide. And, you know, your department is just another piece of that.
Yeah, you know, and just like Gwen, you know, when we do our job well, you don't even know that we did
right?
it. That's the way it works. So I'm glad to do it.
So, you know, there's so much going on about social media and children. And so any words of advice for parents?
My honest, so this is personal opinion, not school district endorsed, okay, but right. I would limit the amount of social media that students have, that children have. I don't necessarily think that social media is the greatest, I don't know. It's not a good parent to your child.
No,
you know?
It's not.
So yeah, so I think you should try to maybe limit it a little bit. And I guess one other thing I do want to say is, you know, there is the world of, you know, AI and machine learning and ChatGPT.
Yes. Oh yeah.
I think we all better get used to that too. And we better find a way to look at these tools and understand that they're tools and incorporate them into the educational process instead of trying to push them away, because they're here. You know, the revolution has happened, and it's for us to incorporate that stuff.
And it's about finding a balance, right?
Yes.
Finding that balance with technology.
Yep.
And then giving them the social skills to sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah.
To go through that interview for a scholarship, for a job. It's trying to find that balance.
Well, and I would even say, and getting them outside and making them, you know, experience the wonders of nature and outside and the mountains. I mean, we live in such a wonderful place. Please, don't spend all your time hooked to a screen. There's better things out there. Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing about all that you do, and huge shout out to your team for just keeping on top of things as we go through testing and all kinds of stuff. Well, thank you for joining us. Well, let's move on to our last segment, upcoming events. Well, on Monday and Tuesday, you might see some young employees around town. OMS Job Days will be going on, with 8th graders getting some real-life experience. Also at OMS, Frozen Junior will be performed Thursday and Friday evenings at 7 o'clock. Bring the family to see the show this week, and I've heard some great comments about the performance, so come on out for a wonderful evening.
All right. Is it too early to be talking about graduation?
Well, I started talking about graduation already, right?
All right. Some upcoming ones. May 18th is the end of the year celebration for 8th grade students. I know that Ms. Ortega is sending out some information about that. Friday, May 19th, we will be having our kindergarten graduation. And then Saturday, May 27th at 10 a.m. will be the Alamosa High School graduation, followed by Alamosa Alternative School graduation at 1 p.m. It's almost here.
All right. Lots of celebrations going on. Well, that does it for today's episode of Education Radio. Parents and neighbors, thank you for joining us. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our district page. Remember, parents, that a good education is key to your child's success and provides your child with a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District, students today, leaders tomorrow.